I'm Marco Werman with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston.
And I'm Rupa Shenoy, host of The World's Otherhood podcast.
Hey, Rupa. I'm actually going to take a break and turn things over to you right now, because in the next few minutes of the show, we're going to tackle precisely the kind of issues you often explore on Otherhood.
Thank you, Marco. So here's an alarming fact. Since the election, federal and state agencies have reported a spike in the number of hate crimes. This past weekend, for example, an off-duty New York City police officer who was wearing a hijab reported a confrontation with a man on the street. The man threatened to cut her throat. And here's another incident where the threat was delivered on the phone. Our colleagues at the BBC spoke to a Muslim American man in Maine whose family was targeted by an abusive caller.
Right after Donald Trump was in Lewiston, Maine, I got this call at that time.
I can't wait till Trump is president. We're going to round you subhumans up and send you on your way.
There are people fighting back against the rise in hate crimes, like Amardeep Singh. He's with the Open Society Foundations, a nonprofit created by billionaire George Soros, who's a Holocaust survivor and immigrant himself. 3 weeks ago, Soros pledged $10 million to fight the rise in hate crimes. Singh is working on how to get that money to people who can do the most with it. He says one goal is to support efforts to collect more data. Singh says the federal government has been undercounting the number of hate incidents.
If you look at their very recent, it just was released a few weeks ago, hate crimes report, you would see that in Mississippi and Alabama, there were hardly any hate crimes, whereas New York would seem to indicate that it's a hotbed for hate incident activity. And that's because the federal government doesn't require jurisdictions to report whether there were any hate crimes in their jurisdiction. So you really have a skewed view of what's happening in the country. So in place of the federal government, in part because they're just failing in this regard, we're going to be supporting community groups to not only collect incidents, which they already do, but most importantly, aggregate them across communities so that Latino, Black, Muslim, Arab, South Asian, transgender, LGBTQ folks are collecting data collectively, but then also aggregating it and making that information public and searchable. That has never been done before, but this moment allows for it because basically anyone who's not sort of straight, white, male has been a target.
There's a lot of pushback, right, from people who say that we're ignoring crimes against white people, or that people are blowing this out of proportion, or it's a political ploy, or people are just being dramatic and oversensitive. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to that?
I think it's important that in the place of government's failure or inability to understand what's happening, that you have community groups document what's happening. And at the end of the day, people will interpret that as they will. But it's incumbent upon us, when government isn't there for us, you know, on this issue, to at least collect the information and let people interpret it as they see. Some people say, oh, there have been 4,000 hate incidents over the past year. That's not a big deal. Others will say there have been 4,000, and that's a really big deal. But I think our objective really is getting that information out there so that people can grapple with it.
Do you seek to persuade those people? Do you think hard information will persuade some of those people?
I think it's difficult to move society's attention to a problem unless it's documented. It's going to be difficult to persuade local law enforcement that they need to be aware that Muslim women, for example, who wear the hijab are particularly vulnerable to hate violence and hate incidents unless you document that that's happening with real live examples and real people who can speak to the problem, not just sort of talking heads or experts.
When you see an incident and it's happening and you're there, what do you do? What do you want people to do in that moment?
We don't have advice in terms of what people should do in the moment. I will say, though, from my past experience working at a community-based organization, we always tell people to first just get to safety, make sure that they're personally safe if some sort of violent or aggressive incident is occurring. Second, it's very important to report to authorities as soon as you possibly can if you see something or experiencing something hateful or violent. Third, consider reporting what's happened to a community-based organization. In the United States, we have a very strong civil society. We have very strong community-based organizations that understand what the law requires. And reporting to them is a way of perhaps achieving a measure of justice if government institutions fail.
There are some people on the right especially who are suspicious of George Soros and say has used his money to influence politics. Are you worried that that's going to cast a light on the data you're collecting and people won't see it as solid information for that reason?
I have a lot of faith that once people see the stories of, for example, the Muslim woman who was pushed down the stairs of a New York City subway, which actually happened over the past week, hear the story of the transgender activist in Appalachia who's being harassed post-election, hears about the Latino children who are told they shouldn't come to school anymore because they're going to be deported soon, that is the story that'll carry the day.
It almost sounds like part of this project is to inspire hope.
I would say so. Again, you know, before I was at the Open Society Foundations, I co-founded and led the Sikh Coalition, the nation's largest Sikh civil rights organization. And, you know, my experience was that where we were able to present information in a way that people understood, people responded positively, meaning there is hope out there. I haven't given up, nor has the Open Society Foundations, in my belief.
Amardeep Singh with the Open Society Foundations, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
The fight against hate crimes gets back to identities and which hyphenated identities are accepted in the Western world, which is actually a good segue to a song that Marco has been wanting to share here on the show.
Yeah, that's right, Rupa. Rupa Shenoy there, host of our Otherhood podcast. And that song I want to share now, it's about feeling out of place because of identity.
I've been low, I've been high, I've been sold all my lies, I've got nothing.
This is British Ugandan soul singer Michael Kiwanuka, a track from his latest album. This is Black Man in a White World.
I'm a black man in a white world, I'm a black man in a white world.
I feel like I